Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Happy Friday. Today is the last day before the scheduled FSD beta release, so I know we're all going to be looking out for videos for that overnight. That should be the big news this weekend, but in the meantime, we do have some other pretty big news to discuss. The Model Y has opened up for configuration in Europe. We'll spend some time analyzing that decision and how that also coincides with Tesla's decision to release the standard range Model Y in China. Then we also have price increases again from Tesla to discuss, some news on Tesla Energy, and a couple other items as well. First up, we'll take a quick look at the stock. Tesla today closing out the week with a positive day, finishing up 0.6% on the day, but still underperforming the NASDAQ, which was up about 1% on the day. We've now had 5 full trading days since Tesla announced their Q2 delivery and production numbers. Tesla since then is down about 3% versus the NASDAQ up about 1%. All right, so the big news for today is that the rumor that we had discussed yesterday that the Model Y would open up for configuration in Europe has indeed come to fruition. It looks like many, many countries throughout Europe now able to actually confirm their orders or place new orders for the Model Y. Deliveries are scheduled for Q3, and it looks like new orders could be as well. Right now, the German design studio for the long-range Model Y says September for a new order. That's on the long-range version. The performance actually now says beginning of 2022. As expected, all signs point to these being exported vehicles from Giga Shanghai. The reason we can see that is the interior trim on the Model Y does show the wraparound wood, so it's going all the way to the door panel, which is not the case for the Fremont-made Model Y as of yet. Plenty of reasons to rule out Giga Berlin, so it looks like these are coming from Shanghai, which makes sense. Tesla's been exporting the Model 3 from Shanghai as well. And then even though we did have the addition of the standard range Model Y to China and Hong Kong, no standard range availability in Europe as of this time. In terms of pricing, it of course varies by country. That's typical for Tesla. If we look at Germany as an example, the base price for the long range is listed at €56,990. Then you add a $980 handling fee on top of that. That brings the price up to nearly €58,000. That includes value-added tax and a €2,500 environmental bonus. So if we take out value-added tax, take out that bonus, looks like Tesla's revenue on that sale would be somewhere around €51,000 or about $61,000. So let's take a look at the possible reasons for Tesla to make this decision at this point in time to export the Model Y from Shanghai to Europe. Obviously, the timing here is coinciding with the introduction of the standard range Model Y in China, so I think we need to look at the decisions together. We'll come back to that point in a second, but if we first just focus on potential reasons for Tesla to want to export from Shanghai to Europe, the easy ones that kind of come to mind right away are, okay, if there's too low of demand in China, that could be a forcing factor for Tesla to start exporting to Europe. If they can't sell them all in China, which would be the logistically cheapest option, okay, start exporting. Second possible reason that comes to mind right away is, okay, maybe this is a sign that Giga Berlin is even further delayed. We know that Tesla originally intended for Giga Berlin to be starting up right around this time. Obviously, that's not happening. So if Tesla feels like Giga Berlin is going to be even further delayed, then maybe they should start servicing all these orders that they have for Model Y in Europe from Shanghai. If Berlin production start was imminent, would it really make sense to go through all of this process to start exporting from Shanghai? Well, perhaps not. I think those two are the first couple of reasons that come to mind, and they definitely merit consideration. But I think there are other possibilities here that are also valid to consider. The next possibility here I had just alluded to, and that is potentially getting a higher average selling price or profit per vehicle from exporting to Europe. As we just walked through the German design studio, it looks like revenue there for Tesla is going to be around $61,000 US equivalent, versus the price in Shanghai is going to be about $53,500 US equivalent for the exact same vehicle. So that's an additional $7,500 in revenue, which certainly seems like more than enough to cover the additional logistics costs. So a lot of that is going to fall then to the bottom line. Tesla's going to generate more revenue and higher profits from export. The next possibility is just protecting market share in Europe. Obviously, we're seeing more and more electric vehicles come out. And while generally I don't think market share is a very important thing for Tesla to be thinking about at this stage, it is still important to be thinking ahead about how individual markets are going to grow. I think it's best to look at each Tesla being delivered as a seed. That generates future demand through brand loyalty, through referrals, through hands-on experiences, etc. And even if you have the best product at the best price, people still need time to figure that out, and delivering vehicles helps that process. If Tesla ignores a certain market or a certain patch of their garden for too long, that soil might not be fertile enough for Tesla to capitalize on later on. So Tesla may have been hoping that Giga Berlin would ramp up quickly enough that they wouldn't have to worry about that too much, but now with some delays there at least, it's possible that this decision was made to just make sure that they are planting those seeds when they intended to. The next possibility is just to generate some leverage and put some pressure on Germany to help accelerate the Giga Berlin process. Obviously, Tesla hasn't been thrilled with some of the bureaucracy there, so Tesla making a move like this is showing that, hey, if Berlin isn't up and running, we're just going to ship these vehicles in from China, and that's what your citizens are going to buy instead. Now, Berlin is going to be production constrained for a long time, so I don't think the concept of a lost sale necessarily applies perfectly there. Time is the only thing losing sales, not vehicles coming in from China. But sometimes in negotiations and things like that, the actual impact doesn't matter. It's more of the perception that plays a role. The final possibility that I thought of, and feel free to add your own in the comments, but this one has to do with North American demand. We've all kind of been assuming that those first Model Y deliveries in Europe would be from Giga Berlin because the timelines kind of lined up, but it's possible that Tesla may have originally intended to export from North America. But obviously demand for the Model Y in North America has been pretty crazy, maybe higher than Tesla anticipated at first. Remember, they brought in the standard range but quickly removed it, and the wait times for the long range and performance have still been very long. So maybe they originally intended to export over to Europe from Fremont, but now they're just doing it from Shanghai because North American demand is so strong. So a lot of possibilities there. I do want to bring in the context of the recent introduction of the standard range Model Y. So let's look at two reasons for that. First one is obvious, same reason as a possible reason for export, potentially low demand in China. Probably the easiest way to increase demand, introduce a lower price version. However, there is a second possibility here. Perhaps Tesla is battery constrained on the long range pack battery. We know the standard range Model 3 uses a different battery chemistry, lithium iron phosphate. We assume that the Model Y standard range does as well, although it does have 12% more range, so maybe not. But if Tesla were battery constrained, which often is the case, and they have additional lithium iron phosphate packs, but Model 3 production is maxed out, well, all they can really do to increase production then is a standard range Model Y. So as you can see, it's not as simple as things might appear on the surface level. Tesla's a global business. They have to manage a lot of these decisions in concert. And I think it's pretty unlikely that it comes down to one of these things. Specifically, it's probably a blend of some or all of them. If we look at those two decisions on a combined basis, I think a scenario that is probably pretty likely is that Tesla is introducing the standard range Model Y to take advantage of more lithium iron phosphate battery capacity. And with the introduction of that into the China market, obviously demand for the long range pack is probably going to go down, meaning Tesla could then have extra capacity without necessarily having a demand issue in China. So with that extra capacity on the long range version, it makes sense to send that over to Europe, which, remember, they're not offering the standard range to at this point in time. If that's the case, that's really well managed because, as we talked about, Tesla then probably actually generating even more revenue and profit from those vehicles. I think the biggest clue for us as to whether or not that is the case is going to be the monthly production numbers that we get from Shanghai in Q3, because a theory like that really only makes sense if production continues to increase. If it doesn't, then I think demand in China starts to look like a bigger piece of the picture. And hopefully I don't need to say it because I've been pretty clear about my thoughts on demand in China. I do think it is worth fully considering that there may be some challenges there at this point in time due to all the FUD that we have seen. And Tesla's taken some actions that seem to be a little bit more than just proactive to try to fight back against some of those things. So I'm not ruling that out as a potential contributing factor here, but I also don't think it's black and white to just say, yep, new lower price Model Y in China and they're starting to export. Oh, well, must be a China demand issue. I don't think it's that simple. I think there are plenty of other reasonable possible explanations. I will await the comments about how that is just me being Tesla biased, but if you're going to comment like that, at least provide a theory that disproves those possibilities. Just saying something is biased is not helpful at all. And again, I've acknowledged that there may be issues in China in terms of demand right now. Wrapping up with this topic is a note from JP Morgan. This was shared by David Tayer on Twitter. This is actually not from Ryan Brinkman, who has the $160, I believe now, Tesla price target. This is from Rebecca Wen. This seems to be the Asia Pacific Equity Research team. And they shared a note with their thoughts on the introduction of the standard range Model Y. They also expect it is an LFP, lithium iron phosphate pack from CATL. And they think this could result in a significant production increase from Tesla, saying, quote, "With this competitive offering, we believe Tesla Shanghai's production volume, domestic sales and exports, will continue to ramp from the current about 33,000 units per month toward potentially 40,000 to 60,000 units per month by year end," end quote. Well, if something like that were to be the case, that type of rapid growth would be something that could feasibly be constrained by only having one type of battery pack. So again, I think production, the most important to help us get an understanding of the situation. Sometimes people ask me why I look at those production numbers monthly or even quarterly, and this is a perfect example of why the production numbers give us a ton of insight into Tesla's business, context around it, and where things are headed. All right, next up here, we've got another round of price increases from Tesla. Tesla has increased the price on the long-range Model S and the long-range Model X by $5,000 apiece. So the Model S now starts at $84,900 and the Model X $94,900. If we revisit our handy dandy price change table, we can see that those were the only two changes that were made in this instance. And now, interestingly enough, the only vehicle since the beginning of the year that has not had a price increase is the Plaid Model X, which, by the way, is still $10,000 cheaper than the Plaid Model S, and looks like it might be staying that way. I would think if Tesla were going to update it, this would have been the time since they're adjusting prices anyway. So with these price changes, the Model S and X are going to have really, really good margins. They were already going to have good margins. But adding $5,000 to the base price, that probably adds about $100 million per quarter in additional revenue once S and X are ramped up. And yeah, you certainly have to consider potential cost increases as well, but my guess would be a lot of that $100 million does end up falling to the bottom line. Remember, Elon did say that the costs for the new S and X should be actually below what the old S and X were. Next up, we've got some news on Tesla Energy. Elon did tweet this out earlier today, but Tesla has partnered with Brookfield Asset Management, which is actually an $80 billion real estate company, alongside real estate development company DACRA, to build what they are calling the nation's most sustainable residential community. The community, which will be provisionally named Sunhouse at Easton Park, is in the Austin, Texas area, will utilize the Tesla solar roof and power wall, which they say will be installed in phases at homes in the Sunhouse community. Quote, the first phase of installation began in June with a sampling of homes under construction. The initial installations will provide insight and information on product integration, which will guide the installation at the next phase of significantly more homes. The master plan community of homes will be the final phase of the process, with the goal of establishing an energy neutral, sustainable community and a model for the design and construction of sustainable large-scale housing projects around the world. End quote. So I'm excited to see Tesla get into the new home development space with the solar roof. That to me seems like a no-brainer because a lot of the cost related to solar roof is the installation. So doing that up front reduces that cost burden, at least to some extent. Elon did have a quote in this press release as well, which was kind of weird to see. He almost never does that, but he says here, quote, neighborhood solar installations across all housing types will reshape how people live. Brookfield and DACRA's commitment to stay at the vanguard of that evolution is what makes them the right collaborator for Tesla Energy. The feedback we get from the solar and battery products used in this community will impact how we develop and launch new products, end quote. Kind of an interesting little teaser there at the end, especially because we know Elon has talked before about HVAC systems in homes. At any rate, we'll have to keep an eye out on how this project comes along. All right, last quick story here, also Austin related. The local NBC station there is reporting that the Boring Company in May purchased 73 acres in Northwest Bastrop, which looks like it's about 20 miles east of Austin. No information yet on what that land might be used for, but Elon Musk continuing to put down roots in that area. So I think that is it for the day and for the week. Hope everybody has a great weekend. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you next time for the Monday, July 12th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.